The gospel means you are free from everything, from all. No one can judge you. You've been judged righteous in Christ. You stand unleashed. But that's not a reason to hate. It's a reason to see the goodness of love. That's why Paul makes himself a servant to all, to win more, to win you, recognizing that the mercy which he has been shown is the best thing in the world. And so why would he not want to also show it to you? You're listening to Oratio, your morning hour of prayer, meditation, and growth here on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and in just a few moments, we'll be hitting the 8 o'clock hour with sharper iron to take a closer look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But for this morning, the last few minutes here, let's again look at Psalm 11. I can read 11 as 111, apparently. It's one of these psalms that they call the imprecatory psalms. We've talked about this before, where you're praying for wrath against your enemies. And the tendency, I think, is to try to make these words go away, to try to like soften them. I mean, they're pretty tough, right? I mean, let the Lord rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. Now that seems not to line up with love your neighbor as yourself. And you've heard it was said, hate your enemies, but I say, pray for your enemies. So where do these things line up? Are the liberals right when they say that the God of the Old Testament is different because he's a hateful God, he's a mean God, and that Jesus teaches love? I don't think so. I think what you have to do is look at the issue from a certain perspective. So when Jesus says, I say to you, you love your enemy, he's saying this because he is loving you, his enemy. And by dying for you, by proclaiming forgiveness to you, is regenerating you to be like unto him. But that, by definition, means you're no longer his enemy, right? And so he does want us to then go out and convert, to bring to faith those who are the enemies of his cross. And we do this by proclaiming that cross, even laying down our lives, letting them strike our head off, so be it. If that is what it takes to convert them, that's what the martyrs say. I will not deny my Lord, right? But so this prayer isn't against them in that way. It's against them who do not repent. It is for those who will not believe at any cost. It's like the saints in the altar in Revelation chapter 5, calling out to heaven, Lord, okay, so are you going to avenge our blood now that they've killed us? You know, what now? And his answer is just this, you know, he will indeed avenge evil. He cannot like wicked. I mean, is it interesting? So that line, his soul hates the wicked. And we're like, oh, that's so mean, right? Part of your heart, you know it. His soul hates the wicked. How can God hate anybody? Well, that doesn't make us, we don't understand what wickedness is then if we're going to say that. You're crazy if you don't hate evil. How can you love evil? It's one thing to recognize that we are all evil and need to have mercy on each other, reconcile all that, be forgiven. But to love the evil itself, that's a different thing altogether, right? Now, the early part of the psalm, just to give it a little bit of an understanding of what is it getting at? You know, how can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? Look, the wicked come. I mean, this is connected to a threat that there are evildoers, that is unbelievers, those who don't want forgiveness, who are about to literally assault Jerusalem. They're going to attack the city with sword and bow and try to kill everybody. And the psalmist is saying, well, how can anyone tell me time to run away? Because the Lord is here, right in this place. You heard the reading about David bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city. The Lord is here. They can't destroy these foundations. His throne sees all things. And he knows righteousness and justification are given to us here in this Ark and by this covenant. And so also he knows the wicked, and he will stop them in their tracks. He will protect his mercy given to all. And then the prayer out of that says, well, so let it be, right? Stop them, Lord, from killing us. And if it is, so be it. If you've got to send evil to hell, in order to stop it, so be it. The Lord loves the righteous, and I will confess it then. I will not be afraid to say I am righteous, not by what I've done, but by what Christ has done for me. And I will not be afraid to align myself to his prayer. His prayer to the Father that the day would come when all wickedness and evil will be swept away entirely and there will be left nothing but good. Now the beauty, the insanity of grace is that you ought to be swept away, but you're not going to be, because he's engraved you in the palms of his hands with those nails that pierced him on the cross. And he's done this for your enemy too, and so your prayer is both and here. Lord, save them. Save us all. But for those who will not be saved, those who choose hell, so be it and amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. This has been Oratio, your morning hour of prayer, meditation, and growth on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Pastor Jonathan Fisk, sharper iron, about to rock in just a moment.